pig goes,
and that's how we open the show.
You're welcome.
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, November 6,
2023.
3309. There you go. Got your cue. And this is episode number 209 of the Loose Screws podcast. Eventually,
Hit
I'll learn
that
to
guitar.
Speak. I am Commander Nurgle. Joining me tonight are Commander Larkshadow.
Hi.
And Commander Indigo Boobtron.
Hey, everybody.
And it's just three of us tonight. Chig wimped out, and Trax is two-timing us with that other podcast of his. So three of us are holding down the fort tonight. So I understand that all of us have stories to tell this week. So Larkshadow, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Man, I wish I wrote stuff down because I said I had stories to tell and now I can't remember what they were.
And moving on.
I can start with the endgame. Endgame, I've been freaking, well, it's a whole saga, actually. I thought, oh, I have a really good build I want to do for a clipper and make that into my, like, main AXI thing for, like, going to the spire sites or retooling to fight interceptors, you know, whatever, right? It can do it. And so I was looking at the very few things that I needed to engineer to make that work. And one of them was my drives. So I currently have grade 3 and a little bit clean drives on this thing with drive distributors. And it could be faster, but it could be slower. It's a clipper. It's fast regardless. And so I was looking at engineering those all the way through G4 and into G5 and realized, oh, frick, I don't have a engineer in the bubble that can do that. So, you know,
it's elite.
Yeah, you know, well, not unlocked anyways. You know, it's elite. So cue the research. So the next one I found was all the way in Colonia, so I thought I'd be flying out there. Turns out, a couple of them here can do it. I just need to get Palin unlocked. And to do that, I need a Grellick. Well, the Grellick thing, I don't want it to be... Sorry, go ahead.
There are ways to do that without a Grellick.
I know, but that's the easy way, so that's the way I'm focusing on.
You know, you actually might even be able to do it with just a stop by the spire, because you can sell...
yeah, that's the problem. I need the better drives, or I can't get to the spire. That's the issue I've been having.
You're pretty deep into catch 22 territory at this point.
Yeah, basically.
You don't have Chloe Sadisi unlocked?
I do not. I don't have them or Palin unlocked. So I was going to go out to Colonia, and then Bloomingwind brought up the Grellick thing, and I'm like, oh, well, that sounds easier than that trip. I thought, well, I could just get one from one of y'all and fly it over there, but I don't want to deal with the thing eating my systems because I like flying in open and I might encounter a Ganker on the way there. So I'm going to get a corrosion resistant cargo rack, right?
It's worth having one. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure.
I'd swear I had one, but I don't. So then I look at getting that and turns out that it's a mat unlock. And so I opened my mats, and I'm like, well, frick. So I spent the last 4 days gathering mats. And I'm visiting traders now as we podcast. I have enough chemical manipulators. I just need to get some iron, and then I can buy the rest, and I can get that unlocked.
Oh, jeez.
It's all just to go week in elite. And my week in real life is I got pink eye for the first time.
Oh, nice.
I'm an extremely, like, sensory person. It's probably part of dyslexia and ADHD. I don't know, whatever's going on in my brain, it's part of it. Ask me how much fun having an eye infection is when you're sensory.
Oh, I can imagine.
But got that sorted out, eye drops, blah, blah, blah. It's been a week. How are you guys?
You know that in the time it's taken you to do all this stuff to get a Grellick, you could have just flown the 5,000 light years and come back.
Do you know how much I don't care at this point?
Cargo rack at the end.
I'm so invested in this. I'm making it work.
Okay. Hey, look, you do you.
That's great. I love it when you get in that
mode. I have chosen my path, and I will bash my head into that wall until I fail or it does.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, you do you. Whatever motivates you, you roll with it.
Yeah, it's the big.
I've been having fun doing it, though. I will say that.
That's the big end game content in Elite, is knowing what you want to do. These are like major side quests, you know? You've got a thing to do, and you know the next 17 steps, and they take time and they take effort, and then you have something that you can use for a long time.
I'm trying
after.
To save the freaking princess, and first I have to do some lawn trimming to get some money to buy a sword, and then I got to get a horse, and blah, and on and on. Oh, yeah. A flip.
I gotcha. So, Boob, what's going on in your world?
Oh, I haven't been here in ages. I haven't been playing a whole lot while I've been unemployed.
Oh.
It's a real gut punch, you know? It's a challenge.
Yeah.
I've had the last 2 months or so spent hours doing 5 different interviews with this company, right? And, seemed like things were going well. And then about a week ago, they gave me a job offer. And it wasn't great, but it was a job. You know, it would have still been an improvement sort of over the previous job that I had, but also, you know, might have been a little bit of a dead end or kept me from sticking it out and looking for the job that would make like the big next chapter kind of difference, you know?
Right.
So I wrote back a counter offer. You know, I didn't want to just say, hey, could I have a little bit more money? So I thought I'd be more constructive and put some things in there about special fancy stuff that I can do, you know, and value that I can add to the company and stuff like that. And what I thought was reasonable, you know, I bounced it off 4 or 5 people, and they were all like, yeah, that seems pretty good. You're advocating for yourself and trying to demonstrate your actual value, you know, justify getting a little more money out of them. And they waited about a week and then came back and said, oh, never mind. Sorry.
Rescinded
the original offer and just like basically said that they had all talked about it a whole bunch and they were really impressed by my ideas, and they decided that the organization couldn't support someone of my impressive credentials or something.
Oh my god.
Weirdly,
that's employment a long way of saying that you were overqualified for the job and they didn't want to pay you what you were worth. That sucks, buddy.
I mean, I think that's pretty much it. And of course all my close confidants are, you know, saying, hey, if they're going to just completely withdraw the offer with no further conversation after one counteroffer, it's not somebody you really want to be working for anyway.
Yeah, probably true. I agree with probably that.
True. Which, you know, is almost certainly good advice. But the prospect of being one differently worded email away from a job.
Yeah.
It rankles a little, you know. So if anybody out there is looking for a partner in crime who does data integration and systems automation and a little bit of AI stuff, by all means, stop by the Discord and say hello. I'm happy to chat. I don't really have free time, and that's the reason I haven't been playing so much. I've been in, full time work mode, doing things like learning new skills and polishing up on some programming lessons I never learned along the way. And, reading this great book about the history of data and statistics and how it shapes society and a bunch of like, excuse me, blue sky daydreaming kind of stuff. I have a whole notebook of $1 million ideas if I can find somebody to pay me to flesh them all out. But anyway,
I'm going to make a note for you, Indigo. I think there might be an open position that'd be up your skill set where I work. So
by all means, and
I'll have to check it when I get to work tomorrow, but I'm making a note for you.
Yeah. So I've been applying to all these jobs, but also I've kind of gotten to the point, and I got some good advice just over the weekend from somebody that rather than looking for companies specifically that have an open position, because talk about demoralizing. You scroll through them on LinkedIn and it'll be like, oh, okay, that one fits the criteria and 700 people have applied. Thanks for telling me that. That's excellent to know. And even in one of the interviews I had with this company, you know, ended the conversation talking to the head of HR, basically saying, if I were working for the company, what kind of like wish list thing do you have that's a pain in the ass for you that I could fix? And she talked about the blessing and curse of LinkedIn making it really easy to apply for jobs, because now when they post something, she gets 500 or 600 applications. And how does one person or even a, you know, small department go through hundreds and hundreds of things? I actually had answers if they'd wanted to pay me to fix them, but I'll let them figure it out on their own now. Anyway, so this advice was to find the sorts of companies I'd want to work for and make contact with the people at the level I'd be working with or working under, the CTOs and CMOs and things like that, and say, hey, I see what you're doing. Looks pretty cool. Let's chat.
You might also check Career Builder and LinkedIn, or not LinkedIn, Career Builder and Indeed. I've never gotten a job from LinkedIn. Every single job I've gotten has been through those sites.
That is a good idea. Actually, I keep meaning to go renew my old profile on.
Be warned, you will get all the spam. So set up your emails rules accordingly.
You know, one of the biggest heartbreaks of this job falling through is that I really felt like I was about a day to a day and a half away from being able to turn off all those damn job opening emails.
Right. Oh yeah, I know that feeling.
I'm so ready not to have my 15 emails every day at 4:45 that give me another list of 70 new jobs to scroll through and apply for in a way that some HR person is going to see in the middle of a stack of 700 and be like, God damn it, I hate my life.
And all of that spam. Hey, 3,500 a week, work from home, blah, blah, blah. Send me money to apply.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, I have finally managed to do some playing, though, partly during that week or so of, hey, it looks like this might actually work out. And then also because this is a whole side story maybe we'll talk about later, but my wife and I are really into Halloween. She is especially the biggest evangelist of Halloween. So every year we have Horror Fest, and every night in October we watch two movies, horror movies specifically. So I meant to count before we started to see how many movies we did. It has to be like 70 in the month of October. But she's been reading It in the evenings. And so that's been my really dangerous time. So I've got her reading about Pennywise and the Losers. And meanwhile, I'm either racking up the billions, going Orthrus farming with the AXI private group, or this last week doing some Buckyball again. I missed the previous one because I just couldn't. It was big and convoluted and more than I could make happen in my current morale condition. But this time around it was great, and we'll talk about it later in the community stuff. But so I'm kind of back, I guess, for better and worse. And I missed you guys.
Yay.
I'm sorry you had to get the business equivalent of it's not you, it's me.
Man, right?
I right before COVID I was going through a job search, and I between the it's not you, it's me letters and the look, we know you applied for this position, but here's the other 700 jobs we have open that you might be interested in.
Right.
I mean, you know, when I apply for one job and then the same company is like, hey, we have this opening in accounting, why don't you apply for this? No, I'm not an accountant. I'm not going to do that. please stop sending me emails.
Right.
There was one in particular that took me about a week of daily emails to figure, even if they offer me a job, I don't want it. These guys are clueless.
And I'm just so out of practice at it. It's been 8 years in the previous company. So the landscape has changed a bit during the time I was building this whole data services department and becoming director of it. And
I went 25 years between job interviews.
That is so, not enough, but a good start.
I got you both beat. I've worked in customer-facing or client-facing IT my whole life. Now moved into more general electronics tech support, which is a little more stable. But every 5 years for the last over 20 years, I have been laid off.
Oof. That sucks.
That does suck.
Yeah. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So ask me how good I am at interviewing.
Look, my advice to everybody is always take the interview. Because even if you already know you don't want the job, take the interview because you have a chance to learn something about what people are looking for and a chance to practice your interview skills. So the way
I agree with this 100%.
You are just highly practiced at interviewing.
Yeah.
You are an expert level interviewee.
My own interviewing skill has leveled up at least maybe 3 times just in the 2.5 months I've been laid off now. And most of it has been because of judicious and inventive use of the ChatGPT iPhone app.
Nice.
I figured out a little while back that even if you don't use the paid version, which is fantastic, by the way, and worth it. But even if you just use the free version, the voice transcription on it is absolutely first rate. And you can just hit the record button and talk to it for 2 or 3 minutes, and it immediately transcribes those. And not even using it so much for the ChatGPT part of it and telling it ahead of time, I'm just using you as a dictation assistant. Don't feel obliged to offer me suggestions or anything else. I'm just writing stuff down and you are the vessel and you can keep a list if you want. And using that while listening to podcasts or audiobooks about my chosen profession or just talking through the ideas that I have in my head and my notebook from the previous job, having an accurate and usable and useful voice-to-text transcription tool like that has completely changed my life. So the first like hour and a half of the day, I'm walking my dog out on the sidewalk and in the park and talking through technical stuff and philosophical stuff. And it's been really useful keeping notes when listening to podcasts because I hit the button and talk and it just pauses the podcast long enough for it to jot down whatever quick observation I had. So I get to the end of a podcast, one of these like data engineering chat podcasts.
Nice.
And instead of it just being one more podcast that kind of fades off into the ethers, I have just a chat saved in my ChatGPT that is the things that I remarked on while I was listening to it and its own responses. So I kind of get to go through the whole thing a second time. It's been a really interesting kind of mental hack because not at all unlike our friend Lark, I think. I grew up with a brain that was not so great at taking notes and organizing and was much better at being absolutely hyper super present at what I was listening to or learning. And yeah, it's been a great kind of neuro hack. So now I've got thousands and thousands of words written and I've got a Substack blog that I write stuff about AI and digital marketing and post things on LinkedIn and really it all kind of got unlocked just because of this useful free voice transcription feature in ChatGPT.
But
because I've done so much of this talking, the combination of that and all the podcast stuff actually have gone a huge distance to making me more comfortable talking to, you know, the CEO of a company about what I have to offer. Great. Something that before would have absolutely paralyzed me with fear until I got in the middle of it and kind of blustered my way through. But just thinking about the first conversation I had once I started looking for work and the most recent conversations and how I could talk about it tomorrow. There's no practice for interviewing like interviewing and for talking like talking.
That's true. It's absolutely true. That's cool. I never thought of using ChatGPT that way.
It's handy. I recommend it for sure.
And if you got 20
bucks a month to spend, the pro version is even better. And it has been given me all kinds of crazy AI art, loose screws stuff and whatnot over the last couple of weeks too. So highly recommend it.
Interesting aside, as I was listening to you describe, you basically multitasking both listening to words and taking notes for yourself, both speaking and not to remember what you're hearing. It's just interesting to me how you would do that way. And I do the same thing with music and writing. Basically, if I can hear and see it, I can extract, okay, well, how did they do that? Why did they do that? The context, and be able to use those sort of like things, or like, not ideas for riffs, but like certain styles, things like that in my own work, just by listening to it. And it's so fascinating to hear someone else say that, but for something completely foreign to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is.
Love it. Anyways, sorry.
I don't know if I can top that.
How are you?
I haven't been on in a while. You've been tapped pretty much every week. So
that's true.
I got a backlog here.
Yeah, you got a backlog to clear out. I mean, it's been fairly mundane. I've done some BGS work in game this past week. Haven't had a lot of time to play. We had a death in the family last week. My wife's aunt died, so that kind of took up a lot of time.
As those do.
Which, you know, and that, you know, that's her side of the family. Her aunt is was one of 11 children.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, big family. Whole bunch of crazy going on there. They can't get along with each other.
I was going to ask, good crazy or crazy crazy?
Oh, well, so the aunt that died has spent her lifetime running the family restaurant. Literally, I mean, she was 74 years old, spent her entire life in the family restaurant. And back in 95, when their father, my wife's grandfather, passed away, his restaurant, he had set up an annuity that paid every living child up to, I think the original payout was projected to be 50 grand every 10 years out of this annuity. And one of the other daughters, who shall not be named, we do not speak her name, within months of her father dying, turned around and sued the trust, the restaurant, and everything else. This is a person who never set foot in that restaurant a day in her life, refused to work in it, and was suing for total ownership. And that fight went on for 12 years, so much so that the first annuity payment did not happen to the surviving children, because all of the funds that would have gone into the annuity went to lawyers.
Oh.
Today on Annuities of Our Lives.
And she had the nerve to show up to that funeral.
Whoa.
But it was a lot better than it would have been, a lot better than I expected. You know, there were a couple of the siblings that couldn't make it for various reasons, mostly health related, because they're all in their 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
But so it turned out nice. It was a nice service, and there was not much bloodshed until afterwards. And so no one made a scene at the church or the graveside.
That's good.
And I got that took, like I said, a lot of my week. I got a chance to get some BGS work in over the weekend. And then, you know, today was another one of those days at work. We were kind of talking before everybody was getting on Discord before the show started, that, you know, they finally released some of our, you know, the fiscal year for the city ends September 30th. There's usually a delay before things get rolling in the new fiscal year. That finally happened. I came into work this morning to an email from our purchasing clerk that said, hey, they've got these POs ready for you to go pick up the stuff. So I went with my POs to go pick up some stuff from some vendors today, only to get the, hey, we haven't got that PO yet. Or, hey, they haven't sent it. They haven't sent it to us. So apparently somebody at purchasing created the PO and neglected to send it to the vendors. And then had another one where I went to go pick up some DeWalt tools and batteries that we had ordered, only to get there and find out that someone in purchasing had discovered that there was a cheaper tool than a DeWalt, and it instead ordered us these other tools, which, and the irony is that is they still ordered us the DeWalt batteries and the charger, but, and then they ordered these Bauer tools because they were cheaper. Like, so I had to tell the nice lady, no, I'm sorry, I can't take and then go back and try to hash it out with purchasing. Like, yeah, I understand you saved money on the tools, but everything we have is DeWalt, so that kind of doesn't work. So hopefully that gets straightened out. But that was about as, I mean, that's pretty much standard issue crazy if you work in the public sphere. That's pretty normal. Just goes to prove what I always say, that when the reckoning comes, it's going to be the accountants and the purchasing agents that go first.
Oh, that's definitely. Why they're the ones we need to keep our eyes on, because they know.
They're our own worst enemies. They're just terrible. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's a booming wind's daughter. She'll be an amazing one that all her coworkers will respect and admire.
Of course, of course.
I hope so. I really hope she's one of the good ones, because there's just not a lot of evidence that that happens often. Actually, I take that back. I do know accountants who do not work in the public sphere who are fine, normal people, other than the fact that they're accountants, which, you know, it's a certain kind of weird you have to be an accountant anyway. It's only the ones that get stuck doing government work that seem to have their soul sucked out of them and start doing stupid shit.
Probably some combination of selection bias and repeated trauma that leads to that.
Yes. Yeah, I believe you bash your head 100%. You are 100% correct. Yes, it is selection bias followed by severe and repeated trauma. Repetitive stress injuries.
Of the brain.
To the psyche.
Yeah.
You can only bash your head on those numbers so long before it gets to you.
All right, so I guess we need to go ahead and move and do a squad update. Who wants to do the sound effect for a squad update? Perfect. Clip it. All right, so we've got a war going on in Yemiya again. That seems to be, yeah, that one in Bigalis seem to be just constantly churning over, but there is a war in Yemiya. That is a go fight win moment. We're good to go and win that one. We have an election in Yenti. That again is one that we're good to go ahead and win, even though we don't want to take over that system. Oh, I see Blooming Wind has stuck his head in the notes and that we have a war pending in Zions. I didn't catch that earlier. So that will be another one that we want to go fight and win. We just expanded into one of those, you know, melodically named systems, LP29-188.
Isn't there a song about that one?
What was that?
I said, isn't there a song about that one?
Oh, yes. It rolls right off the tongue. It's got a catchy melody. You know, kids will be singing it as they drive with the top down cruising.
But LP, I got your number.
Oh.
So hey, you started it.
Yeah, I know. It's all my fault. So there's a faction in that system called LP29-188 Industries. We want to give them a nice solid push so that they go to war with the faction right above them, locking all that up so we can skip past all of them. We've got that in the standing orders and in the Loose Screws faction channel for more details. Also, 6 Andromeda is doing what 6 Andromeda does. It is a smoking hot mess. It is in Boom plus Public Holiday, and until yesterday plus Expansion, which is like the Yahtzee combination for the highest precious metal prices in the galaxy. I know at one point yesterday afternoon there were 18 carriers in 6 Andromeda, all unloading precious metals into the market. Gold was selling for just a hair shy of 68,000 credits per ton.
Dang!
Yeah, so there was a lot of trading.
Isn't that the system with our artisanal tritium, or is that a different one?
No, that's Lambda.
Yeah. That's Lambda. That's right. So it is one in Andromeda. I was close.
So part of my BGSing over the weekend was smacking 6 Andromeda on top of the head to keep it from going crazy. And it's still in the upper 60s, so it needs some additional cooling off. And again, the details for all of that are in the standing orders post in the Loose Screws faction channel of the Discord. So you can go there and get more details. And if you have any questions, you can post them there, and one of us BGS geeks will be happy to answer those. So that's what's going on with the faction.
Nice.
We do have a Blame the Bard this week, but do we have it queued on the soundboard to play here, or are we going to have Trax stick it in at the end?
We're going
to
have Trax stick it in.
So,
we can all pretend we heard it and have our canned responses, and he can just stick it right in the middle.
Yeah, we can. And somehow it's just so appropriate to refer to Bard as stick it in the end.
It's just screws welcome.
Yeah, I just didn't even think of that when I said it. So yeah, it's kind of true.
That gif with the freaking Bugs Bunny just patting. Come on in.
yeah, come on in. Everything's fine. Sit right here. So we'll put the Tin Hattium Express at the end of the episode in post, and it'll be a surprise to everybody.
Us included.
After this gets posted. So let's move on.
If it's good enough for Lave and the Galnet News Digest, it's good enough for us, right?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Basically.
Only because we don't have another option other than to go with that. move on. We'll hit dev news just briefly. There's nothing new, but I did want to mention that Sally has left or will very shortly be leaving Frontier.
I think this last week was her last.
Friday.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was the end of October or the end of November when she was going to be leaving. But so she has left. She was one of the good ones. I wish
they
her
were
the
from
best.
Just about the beginning, as I understand it.
If not, it was awfully close. Yeah.
Yeah. A little departure at one point along the way, but pretty much the whole length of Elite Dangerous.
I would recommend the Burr Pits channel for this one. They actually did a goodbye to Sally.
Yes.
Where they got a bunch of Yahoos together and all did a salute, and then just the shenanigans erupted and it was hysterical.
I'm glad I was going to mention that. I'm glad you did too. So
I spent a little while gathering the AI art generations in the direction of a goodbye picture as well that I posted on Twitter on behalf of the Loose Screws folks. So we got our good wishes, and they're all posted in general so you can see it. But
good.
Yeah, she will certainly be missed.
And I am led to believe that a lot of those funny comments that are in the dev notes and stuff where Sally's doing.
Mm-hmm. That's the lore as I understand it as well.
Yep. So hopefully somebody picks up that mantle. That is actually one of the nice things about those patch notes that come out pretty infrequently. So I hope someone takes up and follows in her footsteps on that. It's a nice little tradition.
I got bug news, if we're ready to move on to that.
Fire away.
So I saw a report from Trax and rando AXI people, and he even said that he saw it being discussed there, that apparently something changed in the war BGS, where it's now 3 times harder to overturn systems. And no one's sure if that's because we're so close to most of the Titans at this point in the system that they're in, or if it was always supposed to be that way, or if it's an accident. No one really knows right now.
I mean, I was looking for some of that before we recorded tonight, and I know because I had the same, I was in that same conversation where Trax was talking about that you're referencing. But I couldn't find anything else with any more details. So I don't know.
I would put this firmly on vaguely confirmed rumor at this point. I have no other information.
I think even
feel
the
free
most
to
recent,
correct us in the Discord.
The most recent AXI daily update makes some reference to the Titans maybe having fortified themselves a little bit, but nothing further than that. It's interesting. I've seen some dismay on Elite Twitter.
Dismay on Twitter? Never.
Over the disappearance of the Spire sites as they're plowed under by folks like me and Borked and dozens of AXI folks going in and just raking in the billions of credits. It really is a money printer on an ongoing basis, the likes of which hasn't really been seen much since kind of the early days of being able to stack missions for AX Combat when a lot of us got into it together. If you know what you're doing and follow the right protocols, it's a very low risk place to go and make preposterous game raking amounts of money. It's also fun. You know, it's interesting how much it's gone from Orthrus says you can't find to going to where they're going to come wandering in and just mowing them down with half a dozen friends.
I've seen videos of squads of Viper Mark IIIs just laying waste to everything in those sites while their friends and anacondas and whatever else just hover in the background.
Yeah, well, I mean, it turns out that if you attack any of the Orthruses emerging from the spire as they leave, they do the anti-guardian pulse that wipes out stuff and shuts everybody down. But the ones that are incoming that manifest out of witch space in the scenario don't do that and don't pulse and don't take out your guardian technology.
Interesting.
So as long as you let them leave unharassed and just kill the ones that are showing up, you can use your guardian plasma chargers and your shard cannons and your six shard anaconda.
So they
and things
fire
like that.
It as an FU and then get out of town.
Yeah. So it's an etiquette thing in all these AXI get-togethers now, basically, that if somebody starts shooting at the ones that are leaving, then everybody has to spend the next like 2 minutes burning their AFMUs to get their guns put back together, and they'll get cranky and scold people in the chat. So they only attack the ones that are coming in. But as long as that's the case, you can just hang out there for ages. And as long as the caustic doesn't get you, you know, pick up 40 million credits every couple of minutes.
Wow.
But without the real difficulty of having to kill interceptors. I mean, they don't shoot at you, you know, you really just kind of kill a few scouts and then kill them. Anyway, that's all by means of talking about the kind of weird perverse incentives in game design that revolve around stuff like this whole war scenario. You know, that why do we want to win the war, right? Why are we in a hurry to win the war? If the thing we get from the war is scenarios where you can go and do fun war stuff, then winning the war actually diminishes your opportunities for that kind of gameplay.
True.
You know, there the little tiny bits of prank on Twitter that I mentioned earlier were in regards to that people are just kind of going in and mopping everything up. And it's sort of like the various kinds of fun that we had early on in alert systems, but now sample collection has gotten so effective that we don't really have time to enjoy them, or even, you know, a decent ground port with Thargoid interceptors around it back in the day, you know, a year ago now, or
which was tremendous
ago.
Fun.
Yeah, we were all hanging out around them day after day and just showing up and going through the cycles of conflict zones at ground ports and space stations.
You know what's hilarious to me?
What's that?
Is how in all of this, how constantly surprised FDEF is after all this time that the player base just wants to figures out ways to optimize things to make the most money. It's like, did you never see any gameplay from WoW or EVE Online?
Or even to optimize any loop, to optimize material
exactly.
Gathering, or to optimize
or influence on the war through sample collection, you know?
Yes. I also choose to believe that the Orthruses that fire the anti-guardian field and leave is the developer Max taking control of them and just screwing with people.
Yeah.
It certainly works.
That's another question. This rumored change to the way war progress works, is that, I wonder if that's only in relation to stuff that goes on at the spires for the Thargoid conquered systems, or if that also applies to alerts and invasions.
That'd be interesting to see after the weekly tick. Because I would think it would only apply to the spire sites because those would be reinforced because, you know, the spire.
Right. But if it applies to everything, some of these other things might linger a little bit longer. And we may be back to the glory days of Thargoid combat.
Right.
I'm down.
But so it's such an interesting little set of mind games that we get ourselves shoehorned into, you know, playing a game from a smaller developer with a smaller player base, but obviously a really dedicated one. You know, there's an idiosyncrasy to Elite Dangerous. There are things that FDev does that other, you know, Sony wouldn't do. And
that's an understatement.
In particular, I'm thinking about the way that they handle things like the war mechanics that, I mean, it's so often very nearly right. You know, they really have a track record of
almost.
Yeah, you know, if we could be a little bit more confident that what we're seeing are decisions and not glitches, then I think we'd pretty much all be okay with the kind of weird FDev social compact where they don't tell us what's going on. You know,
right. They
don't really tell us what the rules are. Even with BGS, you know, that was inference and experimentation, not looking at the manual.
It still is, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And as a simulation, I mean, that appeals to me to a certain extent because...
Oh, yeah.
Being in a war, if you're looking at how we're doing versus what we're doing, you should not really expect to see, like, a one-to-one correlation. Someone is opposing you and changing the playing field while you're doing what you're doing. So you should expect to be confused about what actually makes a difference and what doesn't and how to optimize things and to have those things change, maybe because of some underlying change in Thargoid strategy we're not seeing. The fact that they've changed it without announcement on a Thursday evening doesn't mean even that they nerfed it for, you know, cynical or pragmatic reasons. You know, it could just be part of the mystery that keeps us guessing. But again,
and it could just be a bug.
Yeah, exactly. It could very well just be a bug. And we're kind of stuck never knowing whether that's the case, with very few exceptions. Something has to be pretty far off for them to come out and say, oh yeah, this was broken and we fixed it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think they are content to have us in. I mean, they've shown many times over the course of the game experience that they don't see us being lost and confused as a negative outcome.
I don't see it as a negative outcome either. I think it's fun.
I'm inclined to agree
most of the time.
Right. I'm with Boob, though, that I wish there was just a little bit more clarity on even that's intended versus no, that's a bug.
That makes sense. We've occasionally let us off the hook with a little well-chosen GIF on Twitter that gives you the impression, at least, that someone over there not only knows what's going on, but knows that we don't know what's going on and thinks that it's kind of cute.
If it's part of the mystery, the story, I'm perfectly fine with being confused. But if it's, is this intended or is this a bug? I don't think it's cute to be confused.
It's a fine line, really.
And I know this is something that we've discussed, I know, more than once.
Oh, look, there's that dead horse right over there.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know if it's worth going down that road again.
We've said all there is to be said.
So we'll just skip that whole 30-minute digression into
It's an interesting place to be in. We must not hate it that much if we keep coming back.
Well, it's not so much that we keep coming back, it's that it keeps rearing its ugly head because we keep asking, is this intended or is this a bug?
If I may age myself with a game that had success but had very similar problems to the, like, dedicated player base that wasn't as big as the big boys, but it had bugs here and there and blah, blah, blah. Do either of you remember MMO way back in the day called Dark Age of Camelot?
Yes.
This game is Dark Age of Camelot in space.
Wow, I never played that much of Dark Age of Camelot.
I did mostly with a friend who was like obsessed with it. That's the only reason I know so much. But like pathwise, they're making the same mistakes. They have like the same player base issues. It's everything's the same. And so it's just fun to compare to something that's older but still had success. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people that loved Daok, they look back on that and they still love it in spite of all its flaws.
Well, I mean, I have a similar relationship with EverQuest.
Oh, don't get me started on EverQuest. I played that so much.
I played the Jesus out of EverQuest and I loved every minute of it.
For me, it was EverQuest 2 more than EverQuest, but yeah.
Yeah, I never played EverQuest 2, but I was hardcore into EverQuest 1. Some of my favorite memories in gaming are still from EverQuest. So
same for me when there was a special boss that spawned in a pond. It was like a shark or something. And so we got all ready, the five of us friends, like, oh, we could take him. And we went into the pond with water breathing enabled and all our buffs and everything. And one person hit them and three of us died immediately. And everyone started screaming, out of the pool, out of the pool. It was good times.
Yes. Many, many good times were had.
I look at Elite the same way.
Yes. Many, many good times have been had. This is true. I see a note here in the community corner, and I know we talked about this previously. Alec Turner's insane Thargoid Spire platform challenge.
Oh, good grief. What did he do?
Oh my God, you haven't seen this. You have got to check it out.
I have not.
Well, there's a link to the YouTube video that's in the show notes. Again, this guy can do things with an SRV that just defy physics and even game physics. It's unbelievable what he can do with an SRV.
Nice.
But this is basically jumping from Spire platform to Spire platform, and then working your way down to the ground from however many clicks up it is.
Yeah, from the top of the biggest one around to the pedals, working your way down. FDev are lucky that gentleman has chosen to put his time into this particular game.
Yes. Amen.
He's done a bunch of crazy stuff, but there's a great kind of nerd sweet spot you can get in. I don't know if either of you guys have ever come across it, but if you are working with a software developer for something and you suggest some clever feature and then they put it in and you get to see it in the wild, something like that has happened with ED Copilot and Alec Turner's fascination, nay, obsession with time trials. It now has a capacity to record and save and share time trial courses and a leaderboard for times. So
any route
you find on a surface of a planet someplace, you can jump into ED Copilot and record the course and put in voice instructions that it will read out like a rally driver's assistant while you're going around.
Wow.
And so not only did Alec Turner do the crazy video run around the pedals of Aspire, but made it into a time trial, I think. He's actually got a set of them for just about all of the engineer bases. So there's a race course that he's set up around each one, a time trial that you can go. And if you have ED Copilot, it won't show you visible indicators on the surface of the planet itself, but it has a little directional compass that shows you which direction you need to go and how far you've got to the next turn. And it's great fun. There's a whole new dimension of racing that FDev didn't really do much other than leave the journal out in the open and then, you know, leave it to passionate players and software developers to make cool accessories. But yeah, so check out that video for sure. It'll blow your mind. There's a great discussion on the Buckyball Discord the other day about how you want to have your SRV facing when you land to get the right kind of bounce. there's a whole physics of bouncing SRVs that I still haven't, despite having completed my own circumnavigation of a planet, I still never really got a good handle on how to do the SRV bounce like these guys do. But
I suggest something else crazy you can do on the way into your SRV thing for the sake of masochism?
What's that?
I've seen Captain Flint and others both successfully and non-successfully do this. But as you're coming down to the spire site, do it at a fairly steep angle, aiming right for the spires, and try and come out of the glide going in between the spires as your ship comes back down to normal speed.
Or even if you do drop out early, just try and go through there at maximum speed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seen many people hit them. It's hysterical.
And for the people who are curious, I just looked up and dropped a link to ED Copilot into the show notes.
Nice.
So that sounds pretty cool.
It is. It's a really interesting application the guys made. It talks a lot if you let it. It really is intended to simulate having multiple other people around on your ship. So if you play with the sound turned on and are into voice feedback stuff, it generates a whole bunch of dynamic voice content that relates to what you're doing and has a whole bunch of different ways you can customize it. And
I really want to try that because the Clipper is not a small ship and it'd be fun to feel like I have a crew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out.
And you know, and I completely forgot, we made the decision a couple of weeks ago that we were going to refer to Alec Turner as Sir Alec.
That's right. Sir Alec.
So
I thought he was SRV Banksy.
That's
little,
a good
little
one too.
Call out to Lave Radio.
He's a man of many names.
That's a good one too. Sir Alec SRV Banksy.
Sir Alec Turner of the town of Masochism.
All right. Is there anything else we desperately need to cover, or are we ready to do some fluff stuff and call this a show?
I got one more quick thing. Just that.
All right.
We just got to the end of another buckyball race,
woo!
And it was pretty cool. I have to admit, I was glad to get back in the pilot seat and have to congratulate Skurr and Shea Blackwood for winning the regulation and unlimited categories. This particular race, you had to take off and then land at three different Horizon era round prison settlements. Actually, I think maybe one of them was Odyssey and had actual landing pads, but the other two are land too close to them and they try and shoot you and then take off. But one of the three was on the little moon of Midoron Hollow, which meant you had to. I always made it my first stop because probably 80% of the time, no more than that, out of a couple dozen approaches, I think I managed to get there cleanly two or three times. Ironically, the very first time I did it, just scouting the route, I didn't realize where that first stop was and that it was on that famous moon that flies so quickly around its planet that you can't catch it unless you hit it on the way in. I wanted to practice flying in Super Cruise and getting more by feel. So I turned the HUD off completely for the whole trip there. I checked a couple of times to make sure I knew which little light on the horizon I was aiming for, but I didn't look at the time and didn't look at my speed and just did it by
feel. You were flying VFR in space.
And got right there and landed exactly in the right spot and didn't realize until I was taking off and I saw the planet race across the sky in about 15 seconds where I was. And then the next 25 times failed to get to that moon.
Oh, no.
go back to start, take off, or take a screenshot, take off, leave, jump, fly around, get to within 3.5 million meters. You have to be right around 3 or just under 3, I think, for it to grab you out of Super Cruise. But you have to be going so fast and at the right angle. More often than not, when that happens, it sucks you right into over speed, drops out, and then you're stuck for a minute and you might as well just start over.
Right.
Yeah.
And just over and over again, it was really for everybody, it was the place where dreams went to die. And, to all these grown people fretting and you know, my big breakthrough was to figure out that the fleet carriers orbiting that same little moon travel with it, but don't have the same overspeed area, whatever the event horizon, where if you're going above a certain speed, it says you're too fast for orbital cruise and then shuts everything down. But you still get the slowdown from the navigation system, I guess. So the couple of times late in the course of the race that I managed to get it to work was by pointing myself at a fleet carrier that was right next to that planet, so I could come in fast enough and then kind of loop around. And a bunch of people spent a bunch of time chasing that moon over the last week or so. And
I bet they did.
Yeah, it was a good race.
Buckyball question.
Yeah.
Might it be worth having that pre-engineered drive with the fast boot already on it so that you can just hit the planet and your FSD just boots right back up?
You would think, but it's not actually booting up. It's that little wait to jump again thing, like when you
you engineered it to have fast boot then.
it is an unmodifiable restriction that when you drop out because of a too fast for orbital cruise violation, I think it's a minute, maybe it feels like about 2.5 minutes, but I think it's
so it puts it in safety
more like a minute.
So
yeah.
Boot doesn't matter at that point,
right? For me, that wasn't, you know, my times were all slow enough that I would just kind of drive the long way around the planet if it was obscured. And the people at the high end are, you know perfectly well that it takes 50 seconds for a jump. So if there's a 30-second delay getting away from the planet, you're faster jumping in the wrong direction one system so that you can get a clear, unobstructed jump the other direction. Just the level of planning that they put in.
Well, you know me. First thing I think is, hey, can I just smash my face into it and have that work?
You know, I kind of did a solution like that worked once, and that was just that when I knew that I was about to lose the planet, I could tell that it was going to get away from me. I somewhat accidentally selected and dropped out of Super Cruise on a fleet carrier, which gave me the regular quick reboot jump again. And then when I jumped back in, because the fleet carrier was moving with the moon, it wasn't getting away from me, and I cruised right in. So something like that is still way too slow to be a legitimate hack for somebody in the top 10 of this race. But for me, that saved me, you know, having to go all the way back and do it again. So
yeah. Nice.
But that was my cheapest workaround. And it was all right. That was not my worst time or my best time, but it felt like
I'm sitting here just thinking T10 racer go.
No.
Have fun with that.
Just to put it on the board and make everyone go, what?
That would be the reaction. What?
You would earn several smiles, I'm sure.
Hey, that's all I shoot for.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to movie anniversaries.
No, quick fluff piece real quick. Our very own JN Trax. We got to congratulate him on
triple elite. Awesome.
How could I forget? Enough. You are correct. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. It's such a long grind for him. Good job.
Knew he'd get there eventually. I always had faith. All right, so in the movie anniversary world, we have 10 years ago, Thor: The Dark World, also known as the other Thor movie.
Hey, I like that one.
I mean, it's not bad. It's definitely not my favorite Thor, though.
Yeah.
Although I do put it above the last one, Love and Thunder.
I like Love and Thunder, too. I'm easy to please. So
apparently. All right. So 15 years ago, Slumdog Millionaire. 20 years ago, Elf, the forgettable movie. Also 20 years ago, Love Actually.
Blah, blah, blah. That is not forgettable.
Yeah, it is.
Excuse me, mister.
Weird that they both came out at the same time. Love Actually. I know.
The exact same day.
Weird.
Elf is a tradition in our household for Christmas. So you shut your candy cane filled whore mouth.
Okay. Good. 25 years ago, The Water Boy. That's some quality H2O. 50 years ago, Robin Hood, or Disney's Robin Hood. That's the animated one.
Wow.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, it's great.
So good.
55 years ago, The Yellow Submarine, the Beatles movie.
Excellent.
And then 60 years ago, it's a mad, 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 mad world.
Oh, it might have been my dad's favorite movie. I've seen that movie more times than I can
I've seen it a lot, too.
I have such a clear... Such a clear vision in my head of Jonathan Winters standing in front of the big W palm trees. Just, yeah, that is a fine movie. How long? 55 years?
60 years ago.
60 years. Wow.
60 years ago tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That is very much a wow. It's very, very much a wow.
Hmm.
And also, I have a... If I may interrupt real quick, I have an update to my earlier story of my trials and tribulations to unlock the stupid freaking cargo rack.
Oh, yeah.
I now have everything but the meta alloys.
Awesome.
Everything but the Thargoid magnets.
I have a whole bunch if you need them. I use them for wealth transfer because they have a nice high maximum.
I was going to say, price. I need 16 of them is all. But I'm deep in Empire space because that was the only place that sold radiation baffles. So I'll be home tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will too. I'll make sure my carrier's in the neighborhood because, yeah, I think I have. I might have lost a couple somewhere along the way, but I basically had one T9 full load of meta alloy.
Nice. Thank you.
It's a lot of meta alloy.
Like 1.5 billion credits or something like that.
Thank you so dang much.
running the bank.
As my eye twitches.
Before we move away from movies for good,
okay.
I mentioned our tradition of Horror Fest earlier.
Yeah.
And we have made a point of Susanna made a point of finding a bunch of great movies that and some real stinkers too, not that I blame her for it, but there are some bad horror movies out there right now too. Just some real a combination of big hyped up disappointments like The Exorcist, whatever its butt, Exorcist Believer, not good. To a variety of like slow burn horror movies that are never actually horrible and never really quite pay off. That I won't bother mentioning because someone might accidentally take it as an incitement to go see them. But of the 70 or so movies that we watched, there were a few standouts that were super good. So I thought I would recommend them. So if anybody out there is into horror movies, and I think these probably tend a little bit more toward the, imagine how you would survive or escape in this scenario kind of horror movie than the, torture porn kind of thing, you know? Anyway, some real gems that we enjoyed this time around. Number one, a movie called Fresh is disgusting and scary and just awesome. Just so, so good. Another one called You're Next, also really good. Just, I don't know that I blinked for most of the movie. And another one called The Boogeyman from a couple of years ago. Also, just a really,
oh, I've
really
seen
good
that one.
Movie.
That one got me. That one was good.
One of her absolute favorites is this movie called Hunter Hunter, which is kind of a human monster sort of horror movie, not a supernatural monster sort of horror movie, but it is horrible and compelling and beautiful. And the pace is just right. It just... you know, we watched so many movies that turned out to be real snooze fest drags. And this one just had a really good clip to it. Everything about it, really solid. An Irish movie from a few years ago called Unwelcome. It kind of has all the Irish actors in it that you would recognize. It's like Ozark in Ireland with goblins. Just check it out. It's a good movie. And then an old one that I don't remember where she found reference to it, but a movie called The Lair of the White Worm from early 80s, starring Amanda Donahoe with some of the most amazing horror movie boobage, like Wicker Man era, that you're ever going to see, in just crazy sort of surreal art film stuff in the middle of this campy, quirky British horror movie with Hugh Grant and Peter Capaldi, who was Doctor Who for a while, And it's just good. It's just such a good movie. And it's so, you know, a movie of its time. It's low budget and has cheesy monster effects. But it's good. The story's good and the performances are great. And it just, yeah, check it out. I think it was on Amazon Prime or something like that. But and then one more called Ready or Not. Girl joins a family and discovers there's some kind of weird satanic pact thing that she has to find her way through. And anyway, another good one. But if you're interested in horror movies, feel free to give me a ping on the Discord, and I can share a couple more of our favorite standouts from this year's Horror Fest.
Good deal.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, so we're going to do the outro, but remember, everybody listening, we're going to stick in the Bard's Tin Hattium Express after the outro. So stick around and listen to that. Yeah, don't go anywhere.
So everyone buckle up and hope for the best.
So if you like the show, please rate and review on your podcast player, which helps new people find the show. You can join us on Discord at discord.io/loosescrews. You can check out the merch store at loosescrewsed.com for mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And you can support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes. So remember, everybody, stick around for the Tim Hattium Express. So for me, Commander Nurgle, Lark Shadow, and Boob, everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Yay.
Fly loose and screwy, Commanders.
Are you doing memes this week?
Yes, I will be doing memes this week.
Why are you talking like that?
For the memes, of course.
Please stop.
Fine, I'll stop. For now.
Cut to the chase and get on with it. I'm running late for my wash and wax appointment.
Got a hot day?
No, I just want to be pretty.
Okay then, let's get started. October 30th, Thargoid War Update. October 3309. Just another war update.
Someday this war's gonna end.
October 31st, Aegis prioritizes research into Thargoid spire sites. In other words, Aegis is aroused by the Thargoid's erection.
This is the last time you make me out a fool, Len Trexler. You want to play me hard?
Phrasing? No, I do.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing!
November 1st, Grey Swan Fleet destroyed in Shamash. Put a good slap down on those bitches.
Don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Mm. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No.
That's all we have for you this week. Have fun out there.
We are so getting cancelled.
Wait till people see this interview. Are you going to get mail?
Might get some female.